Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Welcome into the Fairways of Life show. Pleasure to have your company from wherever around the world you are joining us today. So, Tiger put out a post yesterday. I guess it's not called Twitter anymore, so are they not tweets? But he put out a post on social media platform X yesterday, in which it was somewhat clear, but not entirely clear. The vision remains the same, 212-24, and then, of course, the Genesis Invitational logo. So the question I have does this mean that Tiger is going to tee it up at the Genesis? I mean, I think that's a reasonable presumption to make. Or is that related more to, you know, the rumors we're hearing about a new apparel brand from Tiger and what have you? So, Dom, did you put this out today as the question of the day, if Tiger's going to play or not?
I did. I sure did. Will Tiger Woods play in the Genesis next week? I just put it out 2 seconds ago, but so it's just a few votes in, but 67%, yes. I also gave a doesn't matter category. Yes, no, doesn't matter. And right now it's at 25%, doesn't matter.
Early
right
on.
We'll check in later on. And the numbers will change dramatically, I'm sure. I just started.
All right, if you log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, you guys can weigh in on the question of the day and be a part of the live discussion board as well. Which from social media yesterday, I was asked about the majors in the game of golf, which I thought was an interesting question because I wondered if, and here's another question of the day down the road, Dom. Do you plan your schedule around majors? In other words, for example, why is this making you laugh?
Because I 100% for I do.
I do too. I mean, think most people watch it.
We're not allowed to plan family vacations the week of majors.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That kind of stuff. Like
we're
like,
not allowed. Oh, my wife's like, oh, can we go to this thing in April? I'm like, yeah, April's unavailable. We can't do anything.
Yeah, April. The whole month of April's unavailable. But no, but I mean, even, you know, we have a shared calendar, you know, and all of a sudden I'll see something pop up on the 13th of April. Oh, that's dinner with my friends. We were going to go early and, you know, and have a beverage and then have dinner after that. It's like, I'm not leaving Saturday night. Augusta National? No. We'll be up Augusta that week, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. So John Rahm's a defending champion there. The PGA Championship will be at Valhalla. The week is the 13th through the 19th. Brooks Koepka is a defending champion. The U.S. Open, and last time we were at Valhalla, it was Rory going all the way back to 14. The U.S. Open will be returning to Pinehurst. And again, 2014, Martin Kaymer. Defending champion this year will be Wyndham Clark. The Open will return to Royal Troon. And the last time we were there, we watched that epic battle between Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson, ultimately won by Henrik Stenson. Brian Harman is the defending champion this year. On the women's side of the game, the Chevron Championship at Carlton Woods, the defending champion is Lilia Vu. The U.S. Women's Open is at the Lancaster Country Club in Pennsylvania. You can see the dates there, end of May into June. Allison Corpuz. Ronan Yin is the defending champion of the KPMG PGA Championship, Sahali this year. The Amundi Avion Championship, Celine Boutier is the defending champion in July. And then Lilia Vu again at the AIG Women's Open in August this year. Yeah, it is at the old course of St. Andrews. So I found another interesting article yesterday. This was from PGAtour.com, and it was talking about why Scottie Scheffler plays so well at the WM Phoenix Open. And we're going to dive deep into the WM Phoenix Open because I happen to love the event. Over the years, I heard different comments from people. The common one that I'd heard, and I'm not saying it's disparaging, it's just the one I hear the most relative to it from people. They'll go, well, it's nice once a year. And I hear that, and what I see is for golf to be the epicenter of this massive social event, I have some of the numbers here. Let me see if you can find it quickly while I'm talking to you. The last year in which that I remember that they released numbers was 2019. I've got it here someplace. And that year, if memory serves me, they had 216,000 people in one day and 720,000 for the week. I still haven't found it, but it's in here someplace. Dom, you can check me on it if you want to. But I'm pretty sure those numbers are dead on. So the reason I'm asking the question is right now is why wouldn't we want this all the time? The party atmosphere is fun. I mean, that 16th hole is classic. And we've got a couple of tour winners joining us on the program today. And I do want to ask them about the 16th hole. I want to ask them about great stories. I want to ask them things that happened. And one of them is a past winner of the WM Phoenix Open. And when you hear the history of the event with the fact that it is so cutting edge in terms of what it means to events on the PGA Tour. I mean, if I think it comes in slices in other tournaments, I like to finish at the Travelers, right? I love 15. It has that kind of fun atmosphere because it's a go for broke type hole. It's a drivable par four. If you play it a little bit too conservative because you're playing away from the hill that's on the right side and the soles that sit over there. Say it again, Dom.
I have the numbers officially if you'd like me to read them.
Go ahead. Quickly. Yeah, give me the official numbers.
They are considered to have the largest galleries in golf, with the largest day of attendance traditionally being Saturday. In 2019, to your point, the tournament broke the PGA Tour record for the largest single-day crowd, 216,818. I love how specific that is. During the third round, 818. Okay. The single guy ran through the gate right at the buzzer. That's 818. And the overall attendance for the week also broke the record. 719,179. And you're correct. It says the Thunderbirds, they're not going to really release attendance figures anymore after that 2019 number.
That part
but
I don't
understand.
But obviously
that number is growing and it still is crazy. So, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. So anyway, what I was talking about.
People is a lot of people.
There are events that capture slices of it. Like I said, the Travelers I like at 15. I like the finish around 16, 17 in that like massive bowl with the pond in the middle. And then 18 is you know, an amphitheater, a natural amphitheater, not unlike a TPC, the stadium course in Sawgrass. So that's another one that has the potential to have that kind of feeling. That one has more weight to it because it's the players, you know, it's a flagship event. But I like these events where people are just there having fun. And you hear the thing that say, well, some people that show up aren't even there for the golf. Okay. Well, whatever reason you're there. So I think it's great. And yeah, they're consuming golf in some way, shape, or form. Definitely. So Scottie Scheffler, who's looking to three-peat at this waste management at the WM Phoenix Open, I should say. I should have to put a quarter in the jar every time I say it wrong. So what's incredible is that for some reason, his putter finds this magic form when he's there. Just hear me out on this thing. Strokes gained putting in 2022. Remember, his win here was the one that started it all for Scottie Scheffler. That week, strokes gained putter, he was second. For the season, he was 58th. In 23, when he won, strokes gained putting that week, Scottie Scheffler was 13th. For the season, because you remember, last year, he did have his struggles with the putter. He finished 161st. To dial that in even more, and I'm going to focus on the 23 WM Phoenix Open here. Scheffler make percentage from 4 to 8 feet at the 23 WM Phoenix Open was 91%. That was tied for fourth in the field. His 23 season average, 63.4%, 185th. Can you believe the differences, right? This is what I'm talking about. Scheffler's make percentage from inside of 10 feet. Last year when he won, it was 95%+. That was 10th in the field. For the season, he was 151st in that regard. I just thought you guys might find that interesting. Now, it was also interesting that yesterday, Justin Thomas spoke. And I've got a couple of different cuts that John put together for us to play for you guys today. But this cut is gaining a lot of traction in the media, where Justin Thomas was asked about players that left the PGA Tour and went to LIV. He was also asked about the Strategic Sports Group and the SSG investment in the PGA Tour. But JT was asked about players that went to LIV and they want to come back to the PGA Tour. Where do you stand? How do you feel? And the reason why this is, I think, pertinent today, but independently, it's making its own news because JT talked about it, was that just yesterday we were talking about the idea of if golf merges. We already have the Strategic Sports Group's investment in the PGA Tour now. We know ongoing discussions are happening between the Public Investment Fund and how what impact it would have on LIV, that if golf comes back together again en masse, and that also includes the DP World Tour, what about players playing on those respective tours? What form would it take? Well, on the PGA Tour, there had been some players that have been talking about, call it a punishment or pathways back in. And so that's what JT was answering the question that was asked of him by the media. He was asked about this idea of, are you okay with if everybody comes back together with these players playing once more in the PGA Tour? Here he is.
I'm not necessarily super adamant in one way or the other. I want the best product and the best players. I would say that, you know, there's a handful of players on LIV that would make the tour a better place, but I'm definitely not in the agreement that should just be able to come back that easily. I think there's a lot of us that made sacrifices and we're very, you know, either whether it's true to our word or what we believe in or just didn't make that decision. And I totally understand that things are changing and things are getting better, but I would have a hard time with it, and I think a lot of guys would have a hard time with it, and I'm sure we don't need to convince you why we would have a hard time with it. I think there's a scenario somewhere, whatever it is, down the road of some kind of version of some guys being back, but when and what that is, I have no idea. I'm not sure. I really don't know. Like you said, I mean, it's not. You don't get to be who they are, and you also don't invest that much money for fun just because you love the game of golf. Like, clearly, this is something that they view as an investment, and to be able to have it grow, which is exciting as a player, but also as a fan of golf, because for that to continue to grow and get better, then our product is going to get better, which is going to be more fan friendly to watch. You know, everything about it should continue to get better and more watchable and enjoyable and just people wanting to be fans of golf. So that part of it is exciting to me, both as a player and as a fan.
All right, comments from Justin Thomas yesterday in advance of the WM Phoenix Open. I mean, the balance of that to me, I always look at it and say, is the PGA Tour a better place? I'm not talking about depth of field at the top. I'm not talking about stars that have left. I'm talking about for the people that stayed, are you better off now because of the competition that LIV brought? Right? The purses have gone up. You've got these signature events. So I'm trying to understand the mentality of, well, if you weren't loyal to the PGA Tour and you went somewhere else, then somehow there should be some mark against you. But at the same time, hasn't the game of golf gotten better overall? Not week to week and seeing stars compete against each other, granted. But I am talking about your purses have gone up. There's been radical restructuring. It arguably triggered, I'm assuming, this massive investment from these other entities, the Strategic Sports Group, in the PGA Tour. So as they say, the business cliche, of course, is that competition makes business better. Has it not made business better? Interesting comments in a very complex situation. So I've got a couple of guests coming up that I'll be asking questions such as that, but I really want to dive into this broader question that intrigues me. How and why is the WM Phoenix Open the People's Open? What made it become what it is? It is completely unique. Like I said, there are slivers of it on other holes or at other events, but the tournament itself that you're about to watch over the coming days, there really isn't anything else to compare it to, right? That's a road that we will go down. The Fairways of Life show is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore. Yep, they are number one. It is for a reason. Yes, of course, it's because of their big, beautiful stores. If you need it, if you want it, you can find it. I think it's because of their people, because you are shopping with the pros at your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's happy place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team. The absolute best golf club I have ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, TourEdge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, TourEdge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Welcome back to Fairways of Life show. Pleasure of your company. So I guess the image that we usually have of the WM Phoenix Open are, you know, people that are dressed for the desert. Sun splashed, tan skin, enjoying themselves. I'm not sure that that will be the order of the day and the days that lie in store. Dom, what do you have in terms of the weather coming up out there?
Pebble weather, but they are going to have rain. It is going to be on the chillier side, and there will be some wind. I'll just read a portion of this. This is the PGA Tour's official forecast. Disturbance is likely to track across Arizona on Thursday with a period of showers possible, especially in the afternoon. The threat for lightning will be monitored. Mainly dry conditions are expected on Friday with a disturbance of rain moving through the area on Friday night into Saturday morning. Any rainfall with this system will be light. Dry conditions are expected to return on Sunday, although everything is going to be monitored. Adjustments to the forecast will likely be changing due to the lingering uncertainty. And you can see there on your screen, you know, mid-50s with a little bit of rain. And
look,
that wind that you're seeing on the screen there, 10 miles an hour. I've got some gusts hitting 20 on a couple of these days. So it's not ideal conditions when you're thinking about the desert, but better than Pebble, right? We're improving week to week, Matt.
Well, I mean, look at Thursday. The high is 52, then 58, 56, 61 by the standards of the WM Phoenix Open. Again, we're used to seeing people out there. It looks like Coachella or something.
I have one prediction for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's my only prediction.
No,
this will not affect activities at the party hole.
Maybe it'll just not affect the activities. All right, what's going on with your survey? I'm curious with the question of the day.
Yes. We have a guest coming up. You can ask him what he thinks. Will Tiger Woods play in the Genesis? 48% say yes. 0% say no. And 53% are saying it doesn't matter. Now, I will say this as a caveat. I wonder if they're saying doesn't matter because not because they don't care whether he plays or not, but because they're assuming he won't be in contention. That's their reason for why it doesn't matter.
I think it sounds like you're rationalizing.
They just don't care.
Here's my question, though. When someone does your question of the day survey on the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, can they only vote once or can they vote as many times as they want?
You can only vote one time, but that's not going to keep you from pounding in all caps in the chat that you're angry about whatever.
Oh, well, that's the nature of chats nowadays. Daniel Chopra is the gent that I had the pleasure of co-hosting the coverage on PGA Tour Live and ESPN Plus last week of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He has 14 professional wins to his credit. He's won multiple times on the PGA Tour. He's won multiple times on the Korn Ferry Tour. 439 tour starts to his credit. And along the way, he had 36 top 10s. He himself is a classic. He introduced me to a YouTube, I'll call it a YouTube channel, but they're actually shows that they put together, the Y files. And now I'm hooked in these things. I'm watching, you know, Y files about alien bases at the bottom of the sea and all kinds of different things. He's joining us right now. Daniel, how are you? Good to see you, my friend.
Oh, well, good morning to you, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. All right. So Tiger Woods sends out that post yesterday on X. And go ahead, Andrew, you could pull it up so he can see it on his return feed. And he says, the vision remains the same, 2-12-24. We're trying to figure out what this means. Does this mean the Tiger saying, hey, I'm playing at the Genesis and that's it? Is this about maybe a new apparel alignment or brand that Tiger's associated with? What's the take of Daniel Chopra, a veteran campaigner?
I think he's going to play. Why wouldn't he? It's his golf tournament. He's the one that's turned this thing around. It's now a signature event. It really needs his presence in order for it to be of the stature that it is. The only real active player of the three signature events, along with the Memorial and the Arnold Palmer Invitational, I believe he'll play.
Why do you think 53% early in a survey would say it doesn't matter when we're talking about Tiger Woods?
Well, I think it's in the point of they just want to see him there. Whether he plays or not is probably immaterial to some of the fans. They obviously believe that he's probably not going to be in contention, but they're the ones that are always surprised when he makes those incredible comebacks. We've written him off in the past before several times, and he's proven us wrong every single time. So I'd like to see him come back on a golf course he's never had much success at, which might take some of that pressure off as well. He can just go freewheel it a little bit and have fun with the fans.
You are the same age as Tiger Woods, so there were many occasions, no doubt, where you were in events where you were competing against Tiger Woods at the height of his prowess. What was that like for you? Was it true that back in the day, if you guys saw Tiger Woods creeping up a leaderboard, if you were, say, in contention or in the lead, that it would intimidate players, in fact?
It certainly would, but it was very seldom that he would creep up that leaderboard. For the most part, he'd be out there after round one. He'd drop a 65 on them. He'd be up in that top three players, and then he'd kind of slowly pull away from the rest of the field. But you're absolutely right. If you saw him two or three shots back there early in that Sunday final round, it definitely somebody you'd be keeping an eye on, perhaps even more than your own game. And that would always be a bit like the whole Jack Nicklaus scenario where he says, I would just hit greens and fairways, try to make pars, the odd birdie in the final round. People would see me on the leaderboard and then the choke factor would come in and they'd come back to me. And he inherited a lot of golf tournaments just because of that. But Tiger never needed to do it because he was so good. He always had a lead.
Were you intimidated by Tiger Woods?
Everybody was. Anybody that says that they weren't was probably lying a little bit. there might be a few players that weren't necessarily intimidated. Mickelson, Vijay Singh, Retief Khusen, Ernie Els, they were not necessarily intimidated, but they were aware of him and they really wanted to beat him because it was just the extra feather in your cap if you could take down Tiger Woods. And Vijay Singh was really probably the only player to have ever really done that, to dethrone him with that 9-win season in 2004, I believe, and then took the number one ranking away from him as well. So Vijay is really the only player to have really taken him down over a course of a season.
That was during that time when Vijay said he convinced himself that he was the greatest putter in the world by constantly reaffirming, I'm the greatest putter in the world, to himself. When you talk about players that are built for majors, kind of, I'm going down this road because you mentioned specifically Jack Nicklaus, and here we are talking about Tiger Woods stumbling down this road, which I'm enjoying that we are, Daniel. Is there anybody currently, when you look at a major championship, and we've got the likes of Jon Rahm who's going to be defending, we've got the likes of Brooks Koepka that's going to be defending, etc. Is there anybody out there today that you think that other players may get intimidated by when that player, whoever it is that you think is in the mix?
I think Rory McIlroy probably comes to the top of your mind straight away. Scottie Scheffler, even though he's not been on the scene for that long, his reputation precedes himself just with his relentless consistency and his ball striking, which is what you require, particularly these at the majors and these harder golf courses, where you just have to strike the golf ball to death and just hit fairways and greens. And Scottie Scheffler, is really nobody better in world golf than him right now at doing that. So those are the two names that come to mind at the forefront of intimidation process for some of the other guys. But there's a few players right behind them.
The Strategic Sports Group invested a massive amount of money in the new entity, PGA Tour Enterprises, and their pledge is upwards to $3 billion. At the risk of asking this question as a celebration of the obvious, how important is this, and is this good for the game?
Well, yes and no. I would say that, of course, it's good for the game. It's going to heighten the interest. I've made this analogy in the past that some of the greatest game shows, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or Jeopardy, where there's a big cash sum at the end of the rainbow for the winners, it's intriguing for the viewers. There is a little bit of that if you over-finance the players, they're not necessarily used to it. It's great to dangle the carrot, but if you just throw a truckload of carrots in front of everybody, the incentive to then go chase after it may perhaps wean just a little bit. That's always the danger. But then also you're creating this scenario a little bit of a two or a three different tier system out on tour, where the rich get richer and the guys that are slightly outside have a hard time squeezing into that elite group on tour. So then the turnover becomes less and less. Now we have those five spots every single week, but then again, to get five spots, not every week, but for every signature event, the leading five players not already exempt get in, that's not a huge turnover and doesn't necessarily encourage some of the best players still in the world of golf to really go after it, because it's just so difficult to squeeze in, because all the best players keep playing amongst themselves in those elite events. And the guys are just outside on the fringes, can't get in, and they have to play amongst themselves in the second tier events. I don't necessarily think that that's a great way for the game of golf to go.
Now, Daniel, you're already looking down the road at the PGA Tour champions. Is what you're saying a little bit of the old guy yelling, get off my grass? I mean, you're suggesting that a dump truck load of carrots are dumped in front of these guys. Golf, yes, has always been you eat what you kill. But in this case, golfers may be starting to get paid based upon what their actual value is in the marketplace. I don't see how that's not a good thing for all players.
Well, I agree. There's no question that the value of these players is exponentially better than it was, say, 20 years ago. The popularity of this game is second to none, really. When you come to the integrity of the sport, and it's such a honorable profession in which, everybody, the whole cliche, you call your own penalties on you. Nobody's trying to cheat out there. It's really the only sport where you're not trying to fool your fellow competitor or the referee and try to get away with something. So yes, it has that great aspect to it. I just feel like you need to create great avenues for turnover to allow. So for instance, myself, in my own experience, I believed I could get onto the PGA Tour even coming, having grown up in India, because I knew that there was going to be 50 odd cards that I could go play on whatever the name of the Korn Free Tour back in those days was, and or Q School, and then climb the rungs of the ladder, perhaps go to Asia, then get low ranking points, and then through to Europe, and then onwards. I always felt that there was an avenue for entrance into the highest level, which was pretty much one level, and then you had some of the majors that were slightly above it. But now the tour has become more of like a three or even a four tier system, where you got the signature events, then the majors, then you have your elite normal PGA Tour events, and then you have your secondary opposite field events, and then you have the Korn Ferry Tour. So there's several different tiers, and it's just difficult to get from the second, well, the middle one up into the elite. And that's what I think they need to find a way, I don't know how, to just make better access.
So when we were broadcasting together last week for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, Daniel told me this great story about playing at 16 at WM Phoenix Open. He's playing alongside of Phil Mickelson, and how what Phil did helped him not have as many nerves when he had to step up and do what he had to do. That's the tease of the story that's coming up as the Fairways of Life continues with Daniel Chopra. And as we continue, we're still going to be joined by a past champion of the WM Phoenix Open, too. We will talk about it after this.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's happy place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous links courses and our world-famous parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bees, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Great to have your company, folks. Welcome into the Fairways of Life show. I will be giving you airtimes for the golf coming up this week. Our guest is Daniel Chopra, now an analyst for PGA Tour Radio, as well as PGA Tour Live. Daniel, I was teasing it before the break, and you were telling me the story. I'm not sure if you meant to share it with the world, but now is your opportunity to do the same. When you were playing alongside of Phil Mickelson at 16, can you share that story of what happened that day?
Yeah, sure. It was a fun story. I mean, first off, you have to talk about the 16th hole at TPC at Scottsdale, just the arena around it. And it is the pressure unlike any other shot you'll hit in golf. It's almost like a little bit of the throwback days of the big break where you have one shot and just no takebacks. And it's almost like a mini tournament within itself, that one shot. And the pressure you feel is unlike anything else. Now, to set the stage here a little bit in the scene, it was the year of the Super Bowl, which was going to be in Scottsdale. So there was something of 250,000 people there that week. And I played with Phil Mickelson at Scottsdale in the third round, the Saturday before the Super Bowl, which was going to be the next day, which is the most highly attended. There must have been at some point of over 100,000 people watching us play golf. And it was just absolutely incredible atmosphere. So we get to 16, and Mickelson's first to go. And obviously a lefty trying to rope hook in a 9-iron or a pitching wedge who's kind of in between clubs. And he hits the biggest flare block out to the left, literally almost flies into the grandstands left of this green. And of course, the whole stadium starts to boo. And even though he's a hero there, they don't care. They booed him as hard as you could possibly ever boo anybody. And I have never felt more relief in my life after seeing that shot. It just made that shot seem so much easier to me because I felt like no matter what I do, barring laying the sod over it or shanking one into the grandstands, I will not hit a worse shot than that. And I was fortunate enough to just dump it up on the green and nobody booed me and I made my par. And then, of course, Mickelson hits a super flop shot and gets it up and down. And he's a big hero all over again. But that was a memory I'll never forget.
That is Phil. I love Daniel Chopra. Love him having a show. That behind you, Daniel, is that like a really bad impressionist painting, or is that a curtain in front of a view of a lake or something?
Yeah, that's a lake behind my house here, and it's just a curtain. Yeah, I got a beautiful view here in the back of my house.
Yeah, I love the SpaceX hoodie you got on too. Just do me a favor, lift the blind there so we can see the beauty that's hiding behind that.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
I want to see it. Oh, now that's quality right there. Now this is going to become like an FBI silhouette when he sits back down again.
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what I look like.
That's not bad.
Not too
bad. makes you seem a little more dangerous.
Okay.
Also joining us today, Mark Wilson, who is an analyst for the same PGA Tour Live as well as PGA Tour Radio. Although this week, Mark, who's a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, 392 PGA Tour starts and 32 top tens, also a winner at the WM Phoenix Open. He is actually playing golf this week on the Korn Ferry Tour, the Astra Golf Championship in Bogota, Colombia. Mark, thank you for joining us, my friend. It's great to have your company. How are things going down there?
You bet, Matt. Thanks for having me. And Daniel, good to see you too. What a bonus. Things are great in Bogota. It's a great spot. I know you've been here, Daniel, and we've had a lot of rain the last few days. So we're just hoping to get the golf tournament in. But as the PGA Tour usually does, we find a way to get 72 holes in by Sunday night.
Awesome. I'm going to jump in here with you for a couple of minutes. Then we're going to say goodbye to Daniel and keep you for our final segment, if you don't mind, Mark, as we continue. But let me just ask you this first question. And I know that your passion in this is going to be unique as a past champion of the WM Phoenix Open. But why is that event so special?
Well, it's a unique atmosphere, no doubt. And something us golfers don't get to experience, the feel of being a football player coming into the stadium and having all these people cheering or booing for you. Daniel talked about it being such a nerve-wracking shot. And it's a shot that on 16 there that you think about way in advance. I remember getting there my first time I ever played. I think it was 2008. And I walk in the locker room on Tuesday morning. There's Chris DeMarco, a past champion, talking about how he's got these Oakley sunglasses that have earbuds that go into his ears, that he's going to be able to turn that on to play that hole so he can drown out all the noise. And I'm like, wait a second. He's a past champion, and he's already thinking about that hole on Tuesday. So that just gives you kind of an idea of it. And it's just exploded over the years in terms of how many people show up. It's the place to be. I mean, when you walk around Scottsdale on other weeks, they talk about the Open, the Open. And I got confused thinking they're talking about the British Open. No, they're talking about the Phoenix Open. Are you going to go to that golf tournament and watch the spectacle there? It's the place to be this week for sure.
Daniel, I haven't had a chance to ask you that same question straight up. Why do you think the greater Phoenix area, Scottsdale in particular, have embraced this event the way they had, and how has it become so distinctive, so unique?
I think part of it has to do with the Thunderbirds. They have created this the greatest party in Scottsdale, you know, and golf is just the backdrop. 90% of the spectators that will come, or the patrons that come to this event, 70% of them don't even care about golf. They're there for the party, and the golf is just the backdrop, you know. And then the 30% that are there, perhaps walking around, 90% of those will be on the back nine alone. And it's almost like a tale of two different golf tournaments. That front nine, you feel so lonely. There's an odd person here or there walking around, perhaps with one of the big groups. You might get a couple thousand people, perhaps. But then you get on to that 10th hole, and you get to number 11, then all of a sudden, that's where the buzz starts. And that's it really is incredible. There's no tournament in the world that's like it, where you have such a disparity between the front nine and the back nine as far as the patronage is concerned between the spectators and the players, regardless of who's playing.
Daniel, you know that I love you. I know you're doing PGA Tour Radio this week. We're going to be giving everybody the airtimes coming up in just a second. But as we say goodbye, I am going to ask you to step out of the frame again so we can see that beautiful lake shot behind you, because you caused it to look like a cloud of fog has rolled in. All right, there it is. That's how beautiful it is. More of the Fairways of Life show coming up. When we come back, more with Mark Wilson after this.
Yes, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal cabin. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit ZeroFriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Our guest, 2011 WM Phoenix Open champion, Mark Wilson. So, Mark, you are now 49 years young. You're playing this week in the Korn Ferry Tour down in Bogota. Are you getting ready for something? What's the plans?
Oh, I don't know. Just playing a little golf, right? I mean, 50 is the big number, right? I mean, not too many people like to turn 50, but I can't wait to turn 50, right? You get to be a rookie again on the PGA Tour Champions. I turn at the end of October this year, so I won't have any tournaments to play this year, but 2025, that's really the goal. And so I'm going to play 5-8 tournaments. They have a neat category out here on the Korn Ferry Tour for guys that are 48, 49 years old. Two spots every week for guys kind of trying to get ready for that next step in their next stage in their life. And so you get in on career money. I happen to be fortunate enough to get in last week in Panama. This week, I plan to play a few more back when the tour goes back to the United States. And I will say I get outdriven by everybody and some more than others, usually about 40, 50 yards, but I try to hang with them and score, and I'll be excited to play a little shorter courses when I move up to age 50.
Obviously, the way you would measure success is where you finish on a leaderboard, regardless of who the competition is. But is that the only measure for Mark Wilson at this point? What are you looking for?
I'm just looking for, you know, where my game feels. And I know if I'm playing fine. I know if I'm hitting the shots right. I know what I'm feeling inside in terms of my emotions. I think that's the biggest thing that you can't replicate in practice. Even in a money game at the club or stuff like that, it's similar, but there's nothing like trying to get out there and make a cut on the PGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, or down the stretch on a Sunday, you know, making a couple birdies late. And how do you do that? Well, you go through your process just like you did on Thursday, and you don't try to get ahead of yourself. And so kind of just feeling those things out and remembering what that's like, because I've been doing mostly broadcasting the last 4 or 5 years, and you kind of forget a little bit. So it's been really helpful to do this last year and then this year, and then just also see, you know, where my game feels in terms of what I need to put into in terms of time, all the different aspects. And so it's eye-opening but revealing, but very helpful.
You know, not that broadcasting is a particularly arduous task, but I remember talking to John McGinnis one time about it, and he had a microphone in one hand and a 5-iron in the other, and he held up the 5-iron and said, no player has ever traded one of these, a 5-iron for one of these, a microphone. But in your case, and in his, in fairness, you have found this second life as a broadcaster. Now you need to switch it back into a competitive mode, which is not only about hitting the shots that you want to hit when you have to hit them. It is a whole mindset change. Are you ready to flip the switch?
I am. I really enjoyed the broadcasting. I plan to continue doing some of it even while I'm playing the PGA Tour Champions. And then hopefully it's there waiting for me at the end. I've learned a lot watching the best players in the world play, whether I'm doing SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio or PGA Tour Live, just getting to watch how they do things and realize also that they're not perfect, right? It reminds me of back when I got to do, when I was paired with Tiger, Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, that, you know, they didn't do everything perfectly, but they found a way to score. And that's something that's, you know, ultimately I've learned through this process, and I'm ready to flip that switch, Matt, to be competitor again. It's kind of like riding a bike a little bit. I mean, like I said, I'm learning things about myself here while I'm playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. But at the same time, a lot of it is very familiar.
Awesome. And we wish you the very, very best with that transition. As you know, I'm going to ask you about your sponsors in just a second too, Mark, but I wanted to ask you, first of all, does a player of your age look at the current scenario in golf, purses going up, signature events, however you would measure it, does any part of you wish that you did not play in your era, but we're playing right now?
I think all of us older guys think that, right? I'm sure, you know, guys that played back in the 80s and 70s are thinking, oh boy, look at all this money that Tiger Woods brought. And to Mark Wilson. You know, it's kind of crazy. But no, I've just been very interested spectator, kind of looking. Yes, I'm a PGA Tour member, but you know, I don't know exactly everything that goes behind the scenes, and just the ever changing landscape of professional golf is really really wild. To be honest with you, I do miss having all the best players play more often together. It's sad to not have, say, John Rahm playing at the WM Phoenix Open this week. I'm not going to lie about that, but I understand how things are going, and we'll see as the year progresses. But no, I'm happy I played when I did. I am extremely thankful and grateful I got to play golf and make a living out of it.
Yeah, and you got to play golf. You mentioned him during the era of Tiger Woods. We were talking to Daniel about that earlier, and he admitted, he said, yeah, he was intimidated by Tiger Woods. Everybody was intimidated by Tiger Woods. And yet Tiger is still in the picture with Genesis coming up. We're all wondering, with what he sent out on social media yesterday, which I'm not sure if you saw it as you're getting ready for competition down there, this is what he sent out through X, where it says, the vision remains the same, 2-12-24. My question is this about actually teeing it up, or is this a prelude in building up anticipation for perhaps a new apparel deal? What's your take on it?
Yeah, very ambiguous, isn't it? Probably on purpose, but I think once again, the vision remains the same. Like he talks about that he's doing everything he can to get back to competition. I think it's that. Also, you know, with his foundation being a big part of the Genesis Invitational, I think Tiger Woods realizes too the impact that a golfer can have on a community and on so many other people. Tiger Woods has done a great job with all of that as well. And so that's part of the vision of the Genesis Invitational as well, the Tiger Woods Foundation. So maybe it's part of that as well.
Very, very cool. Okay, Mark, let me ask you about your sponsors. Take a couple moments here because I want to finish with you, if you'd allow, with a couple of stories in 16 at the WM Phoenix Open. Who are you associated with now so we can say thank you to them?
Well, I've got Straight Down Apparel. I got the shirt going right now. I really appreciate them for all my needs on the course. And then, of course, Ping, a Phoenix-based company that's been with me since I was a kid, basically. When I got my first set of I2s, Titleist, who's been with me ever since the AJGA days. So I'm very, very grateful to all three of them.
Very cool. Okay, the 16th, it stands alone in the world of golf. In fact, I won't make the statement that it does. I'll let you tell us if it does. Has there ever been anything like that in your professional career with all the wins that you have had, standing on the tee at 16, and what stories can you share with us?
Boy, yeah, it gets the heart pumping as much as like hitting your first tee shot at the Masters. I mean, I remember what that felt like in 2011 when I did that, and your heart's beating, and you have all those bad memories that you might top it or do something stupid and look really silly. Yes, us professional golfers think that too. But yeah, the heartbeat goes up. I think the biggest thing that I thought about 16 that I learned early is that you have to embrace the atmosphere and you have to embrace the crowd. If they get under your skin, then they know they got you and they're going to continue to pile it on. So I remember that if I hit a poor shot, which thankfully I didn't hit it, I didn't miss the green there very often, which was helpful, but I would, you know, maybe raise my hand and say, hey, bring it on. Okay. Yeah, that was a horrible shot. I deserve it. And then it kind of dies down. I mentioned Chris DeMarco earlier and I remember seeing him there, one of the first years I played, we got paired together. And of course, they know he's a big Gator fan, right? And so, of course, we got the Florida State chant going from the fans, and they were getting on under his nerve. I could just tell. But then he rolled in a nice little 4-foot par putt and gave him a nice Gator chop right back. So it brings out the emotions in us players unlike anything else.
It is awesome, Mark. Hey, we're really excited about what you're doing this week. I know that you're excited about not only this week, but everything that lies in store for you. Mark Wilson currently is one that you can hear on PGA Tour Radio. You can hear him on PGA Tour Live. He's doing a fantastic job in that medium, and I hope you have the same success in what you have planned moving forward. So, Mark, thanks so much for your company. It's always great to catch up with you.
You bet, Matt. Thanks for having me on. And I guess I wish someone could be wearing a cheese head walking down 16 like I did this year. But my Packers, they didn't quite make it. But enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody, as well.
Yeah, you too, my friend. Good luck this week. Cannot wait to see how you do. Okay, so you can see that we want to show you the air times because I promised you that I would before we wrap up. So let's go ahead and pull that back in. The WM Phoenix Open tomorrow from 4 p.m. These times are all Eastern, from 4 p.m. Eastern time on Golf Channel. Same time on Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday and Sunday, the air times are split. 1 p.m. on Golf Channel, 3 p.m. on NBC. Saturday and Sunday, again, 1 p.m. on Golf Channel, 3 p.m. on NBC. PGA Tour Live on ESPN Plus starts tomorrow at 11:45 a.m. Eastern. Same on Friday. Saturday, an hour and 15 minutes earlier at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. And then Sunday, again, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. As to PGA Tour Radio, which you can hear on the PGA Tour app, website for free and around the world, or if you subscribe to the National Satellite Service Sirius XM, Thursday and Friday from 2 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday from 1 p.m. Eastern time. Live Golf is in Las Vegas. You can catch the coverage in the CW app from 1 p.m. on Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 1 p.m. on the CW app. Okay, folks, we are out of time. We will be back with you again on Monday if we're spared to cover everything that took place in the world of golf. You always can log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel and catch any of the sound and news that we didn't have time to get to here today. Have a great one. Bye for now.